So we're working in the book of Matthew. Special focus on just the things that Jesus says. Last week we just saw that Jesus says to his disciples both the words come and the words go. Jesus says come to his disciples as an invitation to come to me, come unto him. Come and enter. Come and find. Come and know. Come and receive. Come and be filled. Come and find rest. A very great thing as Jesus invites his disciples to come to him, to find in him, to know in him, to enter in him, that which is a life and peace. But he also says to his disciples, go. That's when he is sending them as his servants, sending them to the work, to the harvest, sending them to give. Give of that which they have received, sending them to be a steward of mysteries that are belong to him that now he's imparted to them. He's sending them to empty themselves out, to pour themselves out in service to him. We noted that we usually think of the Christmas season, I think rightly so, we think of the Christmas season from the perspective of what comes to us at Christmas. We think of the hope. We think of the joy, we think of the light, we think of the peace, we think of the love that has come to us when Christ came to earth. Christmas story is a story of us receiving from above, receiving heaven's gift. But if you took the perspective of the Son being sent, of the Father sending the Son into the world, of the Father saying to the Son, go, you see a different side of the story. It's the story of the Son, and indeed of the Father also, of the Son giving of himself. And in the story, it's the story of things laid aside in order to go. It's a story of things released, of glory laid aside, of things left behind. It's a story for the Son of a great emptying of himself. Though he was in the form of God, didn't regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but laid it aside, took the form of a servant. So he emptied himself. It's a humbling. From the Son's perspective, it's not a story of the coming of life. He had life. From the Son's perspective, it's a story of going to the cross, of going to death. Being Jesus' disciple involves us in both coming to him and also being sent by him. It involves both of those things. Chapter 10 of Matthew is Jesus giving instructions to his disciples about being sent, about when he sends them out. Chapter 10, the whole chapter, is Jesus giving instructions to his disciples about when he tells them to go. So whatever it is that the Lord sends you as his servant to do, this chapter, the Lord sends his servants to do many things. It's a great house. In the great house, lots of things take place. There's lots of vessels in a great house. But whatever the Lord chooses to send you as his servant to do, this chapter helps give understanding of the issues that you will encounter as you go. I think the chapter also helps give us the right mindset about going, about being sent, so that we're not surprised, we're not scandalized. I think having the right mindset about some things can be necessary and can be helpful in order to the doing of the things. I mean, you might say to a couple, you know, when you have kids, you have them every day. Right? So I just want you to know, if you're thinking about being parents, once you get kids, you have them every day. You can't just have them 3 days a week and then, okay, I've tried this, let's bring them back to the store. When you have kids, you have them every day, right? I mean, why would you say something like that? That's to help you get the mindset. Remember, kids, once you have them, you have them for the rest of your life. So sometimes having the right mindset is important as you enter something. And I thought I needed to begin today with a personal confession. We're near the end of 2012. At the beginning of this year, I hoped to have done really well in writing a book. And I've done okay, but I haven't done great. And of course, if you cornered me, I could come up with reasons for why I haven't done great. With lots of just normal everyday duties and responsibilities, but we had graduations and we had surgery and we had weddings, and how much of those are reasons and what percent of them are excuses, Lord knows. But I've become convicted, even as I've been working on these things, that I realized that I wanted a writing a book to be a come thing for myself. I mean, I had good things I wanted to talk about, things from God's Word. I'm among supportive friends. Those of you who know, you've been cheering me on and praying for me, so I'm among people, you know, not telling me it's a bad idea or a dumb idea, go for it, do it. So I'm among supportive friends. I have an office with a view of the mountains. You know, Jan said, if you can't write a book here, you can't write one. So I thought writing a book would be like, you know, it'd be like sitting by the fire with a hot cup of chocolate, marshmallows in it, and the snow coming down outside, and just spinning tales of wonder. But writing for me is not a come thing. It's a go thing. And when trying to write, I encounter the issues of going, not the issues of coming. So I've been trying to change my mindset to expecting go issues in this hope of, you know, generating a book. Realizing to generate it, you're not going to be filled, you're going to be empty to do it. It's not going to be income outside, it's going to be a spending thing. You know, you're going to have to give, you're going to have to endure, you're going to have to pour out in order to do it. So there's the confession of, you know, one of the reasons probably haven't done very well, because I very much wanted it to be a come thing. Didn't want it to be so costly, just go, oh, great thing. And I realized that the only way I can do what I want to write about is to have it be a go thing. Of being sent to, and with all the issues that come with that. So where is it important for you to expect issues of going in order to be about something in life? Okay, you're going to do that? Expect. Have the mindset that you'll encounter the issues that go with being sent as a servant. So as we read the chapter, Matthew chapter 10, to set us up for it a little bit, I want you to imagine someone has asked you, it's probably happened to you in life, somebody comes up to you and says, would you do me a favor? Can you do something for me? And of course, how do you respond when somebody comes up? Well, probably, what is it? And so as we read this chapter, Jesus is in a sense saying to the disciples, can you do something for me? You know, can you do me a favor? And as you read this chapter, you're trying to figure out what it is that he wants done and what it will be like to do it. Okay, he's going to talk about where he wants us to go, and what he wants us to do, and how we're supposed to do it, and what it's going to be like, what we can expect to happen while we do it, and why do we do it. So just as we go through the chapter, okay, Jesus says, would you do something for me? And we're trying to get a hold of what it will be and what it will be like. So we'll just read through it. If you have your own Bible, you probably want to follow there, but it'll be there on the screen too. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them. And now all the rest of the chapter is Jesus' instructions to them. The word apostle means one who is sent out. Stelo means sent, and apo away. You know, they're sent away. So the 12 apostles are those who have been sent by Jesus. So here's the instructions. Do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts, or a bag for your journey, or even two coats, or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his support. In whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it, and stay at his house until you leave that city. As you enter the house, give it your greeting. The house is worthy, give it your blessing of peace. But if it is not worthy, take back your blessing of peace. Probably a better reading there, most versions are, let your greeting of peace return to you. So it's not like you snatch it back, you just let it come, you let it return to you. Whoever does not receive you nor heed your words, as you go out of the house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold. It's the only place in the whole chapter where he says, behold. We'll come back to it, but just note that. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Brother will be paid brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who endured to the end who will be saved. But whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not finish going through all the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign the members of his household? Therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. But I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, Truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. So there's Jesus' instructions to him as he sends the 12 out. The whole chapter is instructions about being sent out. And just by the way, that word sent out is a very strong word. It's the word that's usually translated cast out. It occurs most frequently when Jesus is casting out demons. Jesus sends the demons out when they're tormenting people. It's also the word that's used. Remember, there's that one story about the guy at the wedding feast who didn't have the proper attire, didn't have the wedding garment. And the master says, send him out into the outer darkness. The same word. So it's a very strong word. It's kick him out. Throw him out. So it's instructions about Jesus casting out his disciples, throwing them out there. And the chapter, I hope you notice, certainly does not read like plans for a dream vacation, does it? I just want to recall a few of the phrases that we just read. And again, if I asked you for a favor, if I asked you, would you do something for me? And then telling you what the favor is, what it is I wanted done, if I said these phrases, okay, you say, okay, I'll do you a favor, what is it? And I said these phrases to you as I explained to you what it is that I wanted done, would you still do it at the end? So do not acquire gold or silver. So you think inside, it's not going to be a moneymaker. Okay, I got that. Whoever does not receive you, what? You're not thinking it's going to go very well? Is that what you have in mind? Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So where exactly are you sending me? Beware of men. They will deliver you up. Why would they do that? So what is it that I'm going to be doing exactly for you? Brother will deliver a brother to death. Sounds dangerous, right? Sounds divisive. You will be hated by all on account of my name. So are you sure this is a good thing? Whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. I really like, kind of like, so why will they be persecuting me? And what do you want me to do, just run? And then there's a promise with it. You won't run out of cities before Jesus returns. Isn't that a great comfort? I like this one. Do not fear those who will kill the body. How many things can you kill? You mean there are worse things than people who kill the body? So worse things out there than that? Killing the body sounds pretty bad to start with, and you're telling me, don't fear that? A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. It can be difficult, kind of, for ones closest to you, ones that you're connected to, natural ties, and take a cross. He who has lost his life for my sake. What do you need a cross for, you know, in order to do this? Well, crosses are used to put things to death, put people to death. Lives are lost at a cross. What kind of favor do you want? All of these things Jesus says as he gives instructions about going. I mean, if I said, do me a favor, and then I said all those things to you in order for you to do something for me, probably at the end you would say, all right, I don't know if I want to do something for you, right? If these are instructions about going, I think I might stay. Type of idea. So there's a lot here in this chapter, and I'm not going to try to cover it all. I just want to pick a few things, but hopefully they'll be helpful to us with whatever the Lord sends you to. Places as because he sent you to, you will encounter the issues that go with being sent, encounter the issues with going. So Jesus says something about where to go, about where he's sending them. And he says that they should go to the lost sheep of Israel, not go to the Gentiles and not go to the Samaritans. We know that later the disciples are told that they will be Jesus' witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to indeed to the uttermost parts of the earth. And of course, in the Great Commission, which is also in the book of Matthew, right at the end, Jesus sends them to make disciples. Go, make disciples of all the nations. You know, baptizing them and teaching them. So the gospel does go to the Jew first, and maybe that's what Jesus is saying here. You know, reminding them this is where you should start, the lost children of Israel. But we know for sure later it goes to the Samaritans and to the Gentiles. I think you should hear in this Jesus sending his disciples to the lost sheep of Israel that the Lord sends us to do kingdom work. He doesn't send us to make the world a better place. Indeed, kingdom people are salt to the world and are light to the world. But the world itself is not the goal. The kingdom is the goal. And Jesus sends his disciples to do kingdom work, to do work with his people. The sending of Jesus is not for the city of man, it's for the city of God. It's not for the sake of the earthly city, it's for the sake of the heavenly city. Or say it another way, the mission is not for Jesus' disciples to make the USA a great nation. That's not the mission. The mission is to labor for the coming of the kingdom. So to know that when Jesus sends his disciples, when he sends me, when he sends you to do kingdom stuff, stuff that's connected to his people, his kingdom, his city, his project. And what to do? He sends his servants to declare and to demonstrate the kingdom. To proclaim, literally the word there is a herald, just make an announcement that the realities of heaven's kingdom have come near. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven has come near. So it's to declare, his servants should declare, things of heaven have come near to us here on earth. And it's also then to demonstrate that things of the kingdom, to heal the sick and sight to the blind and raise the dead, cast out demons, stuff like that. Demonstrate in your service kingdom things. And demonstrate that the kingdom does indeed provide answers to the things that are broke and lost and corrupt on earth. That's what I want you to do. So Jesus doesn't say, go find the person who's sick and teach them how to cope with their sickness. He doesn't do that. He says, the kingdom heals sick people. It's the antidote for sickness. That's what I want you to demonstrate. It fixes it. That's a very important thing. It might make us struggle with, well, right now, doesn't seem that we can always heal every disease or fix everything broke. But that perspective, that what Jesus sends his disciples to do is indeed the fix for what's wrong with the world, that's important. If you don't believe Jesus is indeed the fix for death, you shouldn't be here. Jesus doesn't just teach us to deal with the sadness or the loss of that happens in death. He has to conquer it. If not, don't follow him. So we're to be a people who demonstrate that what comes in Christ is indeed the answer for the world's ills and the world's problems and the world's sorrows and the world's sin. So to know that we're sent on kingdom business and we should demonstrate the reality of the kingdom and proclaim and be a herald that it has come near. Kingdom business is not a general humanitarian project. Jesus doesn't send his disciples out with bumper stickers on the car that says, do random acts of kindness. I'm in favor of random acts of kindness. I hope, as a kingdom person, you do random acts of kindness. But random acts of kindness is not like the goal. Kingdom things are the goal. And if in service to what Jesus sends you to do, you do a random act of kindness, good. But the goal is to kind of everybody be humane, let's be a kinder and gentler world, just do something nice for somebody tomorrow. That's not the point. It's to do kingdom things, demonstrate the kingdom. And then how to do it? I think the answer to that in a word is do it freely. When you're sent on kingdom business, you need no provision, you have no provision other than the fact that he has sent you. That's your provision. And you get no pay other than the commendation of the master who sent you. So you've received freely, give freely. You don't need anything else in order to go except that he's sending you, and you won't get anything back except the commendation of the one who sent you. So you don't need a bunch of things before you go and before you give. You don't have to be funded by earthly things. You don't need a lot of gold and silver and bags and sandals, and you don't need a whole bunch of earthly things before you go. And you don't give, you don't serve, in order to acquire a bunch of things. You don't serve and you don't give in order to gain earthly things, to get gold and silver. Workers, of course, have a right to be supported in their work. So you have a right to provision of a house if a house is needed, and shoes and a bank account when those things are needed. But none of us is to do the work that we're sent to in order to get a house, in order to get a bank account, in order to get shoes. You should give it freely. And we should give freely to people and in places that just seem good and worthy. I think a good rule when going to do what it is that the Lord has sent you to do is you go first. So if you feel you're about something the Lord has given you to do, you go first. Offer it freely, without prerequisite, without conditions. You don't have to say, Manish wears a dark colored coat today, then I'll do it. Or Manish does this or that or a bunch of other things, then maybe I'll give, but not until those conditions are met. We shouldn't do that. Just give it freely. And then, if it's not received, if it's not welcomed, after you've gone first, let it return to you. It can come back. And let it come back to you, and then, after it's come back to you, as you leave, shake the dust off your feet. I see in that kind of instructions that it should not cause to you personally scars and wounds. So it doesn't cause you to say, I'm never going to give or serve again just because it hurts too much because people didn't receive it. You shook the dust off my feet, and I'm good. So no scars or wounds that prevent you from carrying, again, offering it freely the next time. But also, of course, there's a reminder that if we reject the Lord's servants, the time can come when it's too late, because they've left town. That I can say, okay, Lord, I'm ready for a prophet. I'm really ready for a prophetic word for me because I'm in a tight spot. That he might very well say to me, I sent you four of them. You told them to take a hike. It's too late now. They're sayonara. So there's that in there too, of the shake the dust off her feet. But for when you're sent, go first. And if it's not welcome and not received, let it come back to you. And then shake the dust off your feet and say, okay, Lord, I'm good. Where do you want me to give it next? And then that behold, the only place in the chapter that Jesus says it, wants us to note this, make sure you see this. I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. I think you will often have reason to wonder if the Lord meant for you to work here. Lord, are you sure this is the right place? Because I have wool. And those around me seem to have long fur and lots of teeth. And cookbooks with lamb recipes in them. Are you sure this is the right place for me to work? But I think the Lord means that our service is often done in a place and among those who have resources and who make use of means that are not available to you. They have sharp teeth. They bite others and they eat things. That's not what the Lord wants you to do. So you're in a situation where the resources that others have and the means that they have, the Lord doesn't want you to do that. To serve as a sheep in the midst of wolves, we could linger long here, but it helps to be innocent. Where it's not easy to find in you anything that gives reason to attack you. You know, there's no shadowy things. You're above reproach type of idea. That you're innocent. I mean, I might say to a servant of God who likes to drive fast, you know, so they're serving God faithfully, but they got 14 tickets for speeding on the freeway. You know, I might say to that person, I'm not sure speeding on the freeway kind of like hinders your service to God. But others will use that against you. Slow down, for heaven's sakes. Be innocent, you know, so that they can't discard you or what you're saying because you're a hot rod driver. Be innocent as a dove. So slow down. So it's just good. You're working among wolves. Make it hard for them to find reason to bring reproach or reason to give attack. And of course, it also helps to be shrewd. Helps to be wise and helps to be crafty. You know, to understand kind of like the environment that you're working in and, you know, and to take steps and activities that are appropriate given the dangers and vulnerabilities of the situation. A lot there. It's a neat verse. Four animals in one verse. You're a sheep. You're in the midst of wolves. You know, be like a dove and be like a snake. Then comes in the chapter, Jesus just tells of multiple hardships and multiple difficulties that can be expected as his disciples go. It can make for conflict in families, where a father is against his son, and brother is delivering up brother to death. Jesus kind of settles the matter. All will hate you. That'll be tough on you if you're a people pleaser, right? You know, if everybody hates me. And they will persecute you. They'll persecute you in both courts and in synagogues. I understand that to be kind of that in the public square. They'll get the community and the government if they can against you. But also they'll persecute you in their synagogues. I take that to mean in-house. You know, you'll be attacked by those who are kind of like within, you know, within the camp from the inside. And Jesus says faithful service to him, you know, doesn't always result in everybody having a wonderful time. Faithful service can make messy and difficult situations. Faithful service can make families a difficult situation because you set a father against a son. Kingdom lines don't always follow family lines. Faithful service can cause commotion and strife on earth where you're a threat to the earthly system and a threat to the earth's desires and the earth's course. So Jesus just lists a whole bunch of hardships and difficulties that can be expected as the disciples go. And then finally he says, take your cross. Jesus isn't afraid to ask you, he's not afraid to ask me, to lose your life for his sake. This is one of the reasons that I don't recruit people to ministry. Because you don't want to lose your life for my sake. I don't have the right or the authority to ask you to lose your life for my sake. But Jesus does. And Jesus is very comfortable saying to each one of us, take your cross. I want you to lose your life for my sake. And he is very much okay if he asks you to spend all that you have and give all that you've received in his service. He's very comfortable doing that. So he says, you know, take this cross up. You say, well, Lord, that might take my life. That's exactly right, he says. You know, there's a promise, whoever loses his life finds it. But he's comfortable asking for that kind of service. So there's lots in the chapter. I hope it makes you think about the issues that you will get if the Lord sends you to do his business, to do kingdom business. There's an old logo for RCA Records. Maybe you've seen it if you're old enough to even remember what records are. But the logo is, it's like this old phonograph, one of the first players, and it's hooked to like this megaphone looking thing. And at the end of the megaphone looking thing, looking right down around it, is a dog. And the caption is, "His Master's Voice." And it's a picture, supposedly the phonograph can reproduce the dog's master's voice so well that the dog can hear his master over the thing. But that dog is sitting there listening for his master's voice. I think each one of us should be disciples like that, where you're sitting there looking into the horn, listening for the master's voice. When is he going to act like a master and send me? Tell me that I'm his servant and this is the favor I want you to do. This is go. Give a cup of cold water. Go prophesy. Go do some kingdom stuff. Don't declare the kingdom's realities. Take your cross. These things will happen. But go. But learn to be like that, or that dog that sits there kind of waiting for the master to send me. And whatever it is, I'll run off to do it. And when you get sent, remember the instructions. I don't know what else to say except you will need them. And you might say, well, maybe if I hide in the back room, maybe he'll never send me. That might be true. Maybe I just get to come, but I can run and hide before you have to do dishes. And so I can get through without, I ate, but I didn't have to do anything. You might be successful in that. Except, at the end of the story, you will have been thankful to say, Lord, I wanted to be one who also got sent to do some of your business. I wanted to be a steward of some of the things that you got, and I'm sorry that I did. Sorry that I was too, just wanted to receive and not give. So I encourage you, here am I, send me. Be like that dog, listening for his master's voice. And then take the instructions with you. You will need them. Because going involves issues and situations that you'll need these to get through faithfully. So I hope that stirs your thought. Again, I know that I haven't addressed what do you get sent to do? Other than it's kingdom business. Again, I don't want to assign that to you. I think there should be places for all of us, though, where you would say, I am here doing this because the Master sent me. That's the reason. And again, it could be just giving a cup of water. It could be giving a cup of water to John, kind of like, why are you doing that? It's the Master sent me. He said, go do this. The only provision I have is his sending. The only reward I hope to get is him saying, well done, good and faithful servant. So I don't want to prescribe. It's not for me to prescribe what those things are for you. And again, it's a big house. There's lots of different things. But all of us need the instructions when we go. I do know that. Let's close in prayer. Father, we think of the things that come to us at Christmas. Father, very great things for which we are indeed grateful and in which we do indeed rejoice. But Father, we think of the one whom you sent in order that we might receive. And Father, when it comes time for us, having sat at his feet and having drunk so deeply and so fully and received so much, that he says, I'm sending you. Sending you to work and harvest. Father, that we would know how to go. We would know how to labor faithfully and well. Father, that we would be content as servants to be like our master. So, Father, I pray for each one here. Father, I pray that you fill that person and draw that person to you and occupy that person with the things that you have prepared for him or her to know. Father, I pray that for all of us. I pray also, Father, that you would give understanding of where they are to go, to be about kingdom business. And Father, help them
with the instructions to serve faithfully and well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.